Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Gimel. We are at the two dots, about 15 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Mem Beis Amid Beis Ma'is Sha'al Akar Minar V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, and today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Bela Bas Mordechai Tzvi. So we're continuing to discuss the sugyas of mukta that are tucked away in the end of the 21st parak of Masechta Shabbos, parak Noitel. Amar Rabbi Shaya said, Shachach arniki b'chatzer. If somebody left an arniki in a chatzer is a rishus hayachid. It's a place that you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. The problem is an arniki, a wallet, is mukta, and because it's mukta, so you're not allowed to be metaltel it. So is there an Eitzah? So Rabbi Shaya said, yes. You could put a loaf of bread or a child on top of the arniki and carry the arniki that way. The methodology is that an arniki in and of itself is mukta. However, if you put something that's not mukta on top of the arniki then becomes not mukta because it becomes a bussis. Not a bussis l'davar ha'asr, which gets a lot of ear time in Masechta Shabbos, but rather a bussis l'davar ha'mutter. So now that it becomes a bussis for this davar ha'mutter, for the kikar or the tinoik, the halach is you're allowed to be metatal. Rabbi Yitzchak says, shach levein b'chatz, if somebody forgot a brick in a chatzar, a brick is also mukta. A brick is a davar shemalach del iser. What do you do with bricks? You build things. Building, bain is one of the lamatas malachas. So if somebody leaves a levena in the chatzar, again, there's no problem with haitzah, because a chatzar is a rishus hayachid, but you can't be metaltal the brick. Same eitzah, meniach alea kikar, etinak umetaltal. What you could do is you could put a kikar, you could put a tinak on top of it, carry it that way, and like this, there won't be an issue. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Shela, Amar Ravasi, pat macha shokchu deskaya malei moyes bisratya. Once upon a time, there was a story where people forgot a sack full of money in a sratya. A sratya is a rishus harabim. The Braisa, in the beginning of the Masechta Davova Meralef, when it mentions examples of a rishus hayachid, a rishus harabim, a karmelis, a malkin pator. So one of the examples the Braisa gives of a rishus harabim is a sratya. So a sratya was a very public area. So you leave a diskaya, malaya ma'is, in a sratya, chances are when you come back after Shabbos, it's not going to be there. Now, this diskaya, moving it involved many halachic issues. Number one, it's mukta. But in addition to it being mukta, it was in a rishus harabim. So because it was in a rishus harabim, you can't be metaltel it. So Ubav Shalos Rabbi Yochanan, they came and they asked the great Rabbi Yochanan, what could we do? He told him, hinichu aleim kikar oitinoik v'taltelu. The same mitzvah, he said, put a kikar oitinoik on top of the sack and carry it that way. Now over here, you see a few chedushim. Number one, you see that kikar oitinoik works, which is essentially what Rabbi Shaya said. It's essentially what Rabbi Yitzchak said. But the bigger chedush you see here is that it worked even in a Rishus Harabim. Now the problem is, Rishus Harabim, you're not allowed to be metaltal. Zok Rashi and Chinami. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't suggesting that you should be metaltal at Dalanamas. What he wanted you to do was carry it pachos midalanamas, stop, then carry it again pachos midalanamas, stop, and then carry it pachos midalanamas, stop, being that hoitzah or havara b'shus harabim pachos midalanamas is not a problem. It's like this, it wasn't going to be an issue. So number one, there's no mukta problem. That's the sugya that we're learning because of the kikar and the tinoik. As it relates to the more general issue, what happened to being maver dalanamas b'shus harabim and achinami? What he wanted was that you should be maver less than dalanamas b'shus harabim. The truth is that you see from this Gemara, this Rashi, very clearly, that even though midairaisa, the iser, is to be maver dalanamas b'shus harabim, you would have thought that maybe pachis midalanamis should be aser at the very least midrabanan. It's clear from this Gemara, there's other rayas to this as well, but it's clear from this Gemara that to be maver pachis midalanamis b'shus harabim is not aser midei raiso, could be it's not aser midrabanan either. And the truth is, it's a very big chiddush, and it's Rabbi Kivega's kasha and the Prima Gadim's kasha, and we've mentioned it many times over the Masechta in the Reid Bites, and that is what happened to Chatzi Shir aser min ha-tayra. If you can't be maver dalanamis b'shus harabim, that means havar is aser, nor vas, there's a shir of dalanamis. So if I'm metalto pachis midalanamis, shouldn't it at the very least be aser me cause of a chatzi shir? You're not allowed to write two oisi ois on Shabbos. Koisev is one of the lametas malachas. What if you write one ois? So pashit chatzi shir aser min ha-tayra. So therefore, even though it's not the real chil Shabbos, but at the very least it's going to be aser. So the question is, why should be maver less than dalanamis be different than writing an ois achas? And if you, when you write an ois achas, it's a chatzi shir, which even though there's no oinshim and chiyuvim, there's no chattas, there's no karis, there's no skila, but at the very same time, it's at least awesome deiraisa. So luchura, when you carry less than dalan ames, the halacha should be the same way. We mentioned the teretz once for Rabbi Yisrael Chanan. We've spoken a lot about this, but this is Rabbi Kiveger's kasha and the prima gadim's kasha. Zokti gemar amar azutcha. Mazutcha said hilchos b'chol kachala nishmaitz b'shechech. The halacha is like everything that we just mentioned. Meaning, if somebody has mukta and it's in a compromised position, it's an arniki, it's a money chest, or somebody left a levena, which is very expensive, or the most dramatic case, if somebody leaves a diskaya, a sack that's full of money in a public area, even though it's mukta and really you're not supposed to be able to carry it, but you could always put a kikar and a tinik on top of it, and you can be metalto that way. So Marzucha said that loch is that way. However, one important word, bishoycheach. It's only b'di'evit if you left it there by mistake, but you can't set up your Shabbos afternoon where, okay, what am I going to do in the afternoon? I'm going to carry all these mukta things. I'll put a kikar or a tinik on top of it and carry it that way. B'di'evit bishoycheach. If you left it, it's okay. But lechatchila, it's certainly something, not something you're allowed to do. Rav Ashi said, afilu shachach nami. No, you could do it even if you forgot it, loy. Meaning, Rav Ashi was super machmer. Rav Ashi said that the only time you're allowed to do it is for a mace. Meaning, he disagreed with Rabbi Shaya and Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shelon, the name Rav Ashi, with the story with Rabbi Yochanan and with Marzutra, where everybody seems to say that this is an okay thing. The only limitation is that it only works b'shecheach. You can't do a lechatchila this way. But b'shecheach, certainly you can. Kumtz again, Rav Ashi, and he said, no, it works for a mace. Covered a mace, if there's a mace in a public area, a mace we know is mukta, because a mace has no usage. It's mukta machmas kufa. One of the prototypical examples of a mukta is a mace. The point is, for a mace, you can use the kikar atinoik, but for anything other than a mace, you wouldn't be allowed to. Now, where did we have halacha l'maisa, a maisa rab, where they actually use this leniency of kikar atinoik for a mace? That's the Gemara early in the Masechta Daf Lamed with David HaMelech. David HaMelech died on Shabbos, and his body was lying outside, and Shlomo HaMelech didn't know what to do, because he knew there's a halacha of mukta. That Gemara is the raya that the laws of mukta date way, way back, all the time, at least to the times of David and Shlomo, even though it's Midrabanan. But you see, it was a very, very old Takanas Chachamim. But regardless, he didn't know what to do. So he sent the Shiloh to the Beis Medrash, and they told him in the Beis Medrash, take a kikar or a tinoik, put it on top of David HaMelech, and you could be metaltal in that way. So we find that Mefurish, this is an old, old heter of kikar or tinoik, as it relates to mace. Rav Ashi's chiddush was that it only works for mace. Kovet a mace is adif, but as it relates to any other form of mukta, you wouldn't have this halacha. Abaya tells the Gemara, manach kapak. Abaya took a kaf, took a spoon, and he put it on top of bundles of wheat, and he carried the wheat. The bundles of wheat are mukta, because they're used usually to fuel a fire with, but he took a spoon, put it on top of the bundles of wheat, made the bundles of wheat a basis to the spoon, it's a basis of davar mutter, and he carried it that way. Rava did something very similar. Manach sakina bar yoyna, he took a knife, and he put it on top of a bar yoyna, that's a dove. It was already shachut, but it was still raw. So because it's raw meat, so the assumption is that it's mukta. But he put a sakin on top of it. The sakin's not mukta. He made the bar yoyna buses to the sakin, and he carried it that way. Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef heard this, and he said, "Kama charifa shmeitzi the dardiki." He says, "Boy, the dardiki." He referred to Abaye Varov as kids. Dardiki is kids. A mikri dardiki is someone that teaches Torah to children. So he said that kama charifa shmeitzi the dardiki. Well, they're so smart. He was being facetious. He said, "Emad Amar Rabbanu B'Shachel Chatchila Miyamar." But Abaye Varov did apparently was a chatchila. It wasn't a situation where Abaye left his bundles out or Rava left the bar yoyna. You know, it seems like this was something that he did a chatchila. So he said, "A chatchila, this is not something you should be allowed to do." Amar Abaye, yes. Abaye responded. He fanfared himself. He said, "Ilav Adam Chashav Ano Kapa Kipu Lomeli." He said, "Rabbi Yosef, if were not for the fact that I'm an Adam Chashav, I wouldn't have even done what I did. Why? Because a chazul mizgalayu. Because these bundles of wheat are not really mukta. The reason that I'm mukta is because I can use it for a davar mutter. I could sit on it. I could lie on it." Meaning, Abaye held it really wasn't mukta. Being that he held it really wasn't mukta, so therefore he held it with no issues. That's how he could have been metaltlet. The only reason he wasn't metaltlet is because he said he's an adam chashuv. And it's mavur in the Gemara that an adam chashuv, as it relates to mukta, but even in other areas, sometimes has to be machmer. So it was a gedder of bal nefesh yachmer, and that's why Abaye said he was machmer. So he told Rabbi Yosef, "Had I been of the opinion that these bundles were real bona fide mukta, you're right, I wouldn't have used the kikar and the tinoik. And the reason is because I wasn't sheicheach, but I held it's not really mukta. And being that it's not really mukta, this is really not an issue. It's just that I'm an adam chashuv. And because I'm an adam chashuv, I took upon myself a chumra yaseira. So for my chumra yaseira, kikar and tinoik mitigated it enough. I felt that it was okay. But otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. Rava said the same thing. Amar Rava, no, myself too. He loved the Adam Chashev and Sakina Bar Yoina Lamali. If I, not for the fact that I was an Adam Chashev, I would have never put the Sakina on the Bar Yoina. Why? Because the Chazal also. Because I could have eaten this dove. I could have eaten it raw. And being that I could have eaten it raw, so it's for that reason it's not Mukta. So if it's not Mukta, really, I didn't have to do anything. What I did was simply a Chumri Yaseira. Zokta Gemara, parenthetically. Derech Agav. Rava, when he explained himself, he defended his position to Rabbi Yosef. He said that, I know that really Kikar Atinoik, putting on the top of a Dover Shal Mukta only works b'sheicheach, if this whole thing was one big accident. But l'chatchilo, you're not let a heaven zin to do that. The reason he did it with the Bar Yoina is because he held the Bar Yoina was a Mukta. Why was the Bar Yoina not Mukta? Rava said, the Chazik L'Unso, because I could eat it raw. Zok the Gemara, time of the Chazik L'Unso. It sounds like the only reason the Bar Yoina wasn't considered Mukta is because he felt he could eat it raw. But if it was something that he felt that he couldn't eat raw, Loy, then he would have considered it as being mukta. It would have been a problem. So the Gemara says, "Lemeimra de Rava k'Rabbi Yehuda Sfirle." It sounds like Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So we know that throughout Masechta Shabbos, there are many important machloikuses between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. One of them is mukta. Rabbi Yehuda's islay mukta. Rabbi Shimon's laslay mukta. And as we've seen many times, of course, it doesn't mean that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a mukta. Rabbi Shimon holds a mukta. It's just that Rabbi Shimon's very makel in mukta, whereas Rabbi Yehuda's machmer. Rabbi Shimon is makel. So relative to Rabbi Yehuda, it's almost as if Rabbi Shimon is laslay mukta. But of course, Rabbi Shimon holds of Mukta as well. One of the difficult noisim in the Masechta is trying to figure out when Reb Shimon is Islay Mukta and when Reb Shimon is Laslay Mukta. In this Gemara, we have another clue. In this Gemara, it's Mavur that Reb Yehuda, who's Islay Mukta, is Machmer, and he holds that if you set something aside for an animal to eat, it's considered Muchan only for animals, but it's not considered Muchan for people. Muchan leklov and lehavim muchan l'adam. Reb Shimon was more meikel, who's less like mukta. He holds that if I was meichin something before Shabbos for an animal, that's enough that it should be considered muchan, that me, now a person, would be able to carry it as well. So the Gemara makes a dig. Rava just said that the reason he held the Bar Yoina wasn't mukta is because it was chazi l'omtza, because he himself felt that he could have eaten it raw. Bar Yoina is the type of chicken, it's a type of food that a person would eat raw. In other words, if you wouldn't eat it raw, it would be mukta. Kasha is, even if you wouldn't eat it raw, your animals would eat it raw, so let it not be mukta because of the fact that an animal would eat it. Oh, must be, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that if something's only mukhan for a behemoth, that's not enough for it to be mukhan. The Gemara says, the problem is, Rava once said something else that would seem to contradict this. Rava once told this Gaba, Tavadi bar avzo. He said, go roast for me a bar avzo. This was on Yontif. V'shodi me'il shunra. And take the intestines and give it to the cat. Now the problem is, the intestines of this bar avzo, the Gemara assumes, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be considered mukta. And the reason is, because we look at the intestines as if it's noilad. It's a panim chadash is bokan. It was part of the animal. Now it's not part of the animal anymore. Now it's separate. As a result, it's a noilad. So if it's a noilad, really, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what he's doing shouldn't be okay, because mukta is also on yantiv as well. So why was this mutter? Oh, must be because he holds like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara's kasha is, does Rabbi Yehuda hold like, or does Rava hold like Rabbi Yehuda, or does he hold like Rabbi Shimon? From the fact that he said chazi lo'umtza with the bar yoina when he defended himself in front of Rabbi Yosef, it sounds like he held like Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't have to be chazik lumsa. You don't have to be able to eat it raw. If you wouldn't eat it raw, your animals are always going to eat it. But from the fact that over here he said, take the intestines of this bar avza and feed it to my cat, meaning he held there was no mukta problem. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to eat the intestines. That, in the world of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon should only shtim according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, no, really, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda and kivan de masra chtaiti ilave mi asra. If that intestines, really, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, wouldn't be a problem. Because the reason is, you're assuming that the intestines is like a chiddush of some sorts, and as a result, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was never mukhan. So if it was never mukhan according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't be able to metaltal it. It's only according to Rabbi Shimon that you're allowed to be metaltal it. Says the Gemara, no, really, being that a person knows that he's not going to eat the intestines of this barav on yontif, Rashi says the reason people didn't eat it on yontif is because it wasn't a yontif thing of food. It's like a weekday food. It's just not a yontif food. And he also knows that if he's going to leave it until after yontif, it's going to end up going bad. It's going to spoil. So he had a mind already to give it to the animals. He had a mind to give it to the animals already. So everything he wanted to do, he had a mind. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, this wouldn't be a problem. So the Gemara says, we had a shtickle discussion where the Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's Islay Mukta. He holds like Rabbi Shimon, that's Lassay Mukta. So we're coming out that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara Hachinami Mistaber, the Rava Rabbi Yehuda Sfirle. Darash Rava once said, Ishlei tikanas abeisa etzim. A woman should not walk into a beisa etzim, like a woodshed, lita mehem ud, to take a piece of wood to stoke coals on yontif. On Shabbos, you can't do this, of course, but we're talking about yontif. For ud she nishbar, an ud that broke, Asur lahasika b'yantiv. You're not allowed to use it as fuel on yantiv. And the reason is lefi shem masikim b'kelim ve'ein masikim b'shivrei kelim. You're allowed to use kelim to fuel a fire on yantiv, but you're not allowed to use shivrei kelim. Now, what should be the problem? Why can you use shivrei kelim to fuel a fire on yantiv? That's the problem. The Teretz says, because shivrei kelim are considered noilad. It's considered panim chadashas. Now, who holds that noilad is muksa? Rabbi Yehuda. In the world of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda that's islay muksa holds of noilad. Rabbi Shimon that doesn't hold a muksa, he's leslay noilad. So it comes out clearly then as Rava, who said this halacha, holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Shmami, no. So this is checkmate, this is clear proof that Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's islay muksa, not like Rabbi Shimon, that's leslay muksa. So either way, the first part of the daf was really from a high level of discussion with regards to the kula that comes up many times in Masechta Shabbos in the world of muktzah. And that is, if you have something that's muktzah and you want to be metaltel it, you can't carry it. So there's a trick. There's a loophole. What you could do is you could take something that's not muktzah, such as a kikar or a tinoik, those are just examples, put them on top of the thing that's muktzah. Now you make the dover shal muktzah a basis for a dover amutter. We know a basis in the world of muktzah always becomes batel. It becomes tuffel, secondary to the thing that it's a basis for. So now it becomes a basis for a davar amutter. If the davar amutter is not muktzah, so the basis for the davar amutter is not going to be muktzah either. And what we saw over here was really two discussions amongst the Amayra. Number one, does that always work? Or maybe that only works for a mace. Rav Ashi said that only works for a mace. A mace, there's an idea of covet a mace. So a mace that's in a compromised situation, you can't be metaltel the mace because it's muktzah. So you can use this trick of kikar etinoik for the covet of the mace. But for other things, maybe not. And in fact, as it relates to a mace, you have a mace rab, the story with David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. So we know for sure it works for a mace. But Rav Ashi said that it only works for a mace. Other Amirah argued, there was many stories that the Gemara brought where it's clear, Rabbi Yochanan and Abaye and Rava, we had Maiser Ravs, we had Halachas, where you see clearly it would work even not for Mace. The other thing that the Gemara talked about is that it could be it only works for Shaycheach, that if accidentally you left something in a compromised position, so you're dealing with a Bidiyevet, this is always a card that you could pull out of your pocket to use, but Bidiyevet. But to go Lechatchilo and to have in mind that on Shabbos I'm going to move something, even though it's Muktzah, no worries, I'll put a Kikaratinik on top of it, that's not something that you're technically allowed to do. Another thing we saw in this Gemara is that Abayev and Rava both commented that because they were quote-unquote Adam Chashuvs, so therefore they were Machmer in the world of Muktzah. And again, this is an idea that you see a lot, that an Adam Chashuv is supposed to be more Machmer, even in Halacha. Meaning, you would think Halacha is Halacha. Either it's Mutter or it's Aser. Hashkafa, Hanhaga. There you could understand, you know, nuances between people. But in Halacha, you usually think of Halacha being black and white. But the truth is, it's not 100% black and white. You do find times where someone that's more chashuv is supposed to take upon himself a chumrah. There's many tshuvas, even contemporary tshuvas, where Gedolei HaPoskim wrote a tshuva and they said, but, you know, depending on who you are, that can sometimes determine how you go about it. So this Gemara right here is clear, where Abaye v'Rava both said that they're going to be a little bit more machmer in the world of muktzah because of the fact that they're an Adam chashuv. We saw last week the Gemara with the B'nai Bashkar, where there's an idea fakert also, that sometimes when it comes to someone that's an Am Ha'aretz, someone that's not so careful in Torah mitzvahs, as a Rav, sometimes you have to be more machmer to him. Because if you're going to be Mekel, he's going to take that kula and he's going to run with it. And he's going to start applying it irresponsibly. And that was the Gemara with the B'nai Bashkar, where the Gemara told the story with Shmuel and one of his Talmidim was where Machmer really shaloi kedin for the B'nai Bashkar, because he felt the B'nai Bashkar weren't B'nai Torah. That was Lashon HaGemara. And because they're not B'nai Torah, you're going to give them a kula, the next thing you know, there's going to be other kulas. So again, this is all part of the fifth of Shulchan Aruch that the Meirei Ra have to know, where sometimes the Adam Choshev has to be Machmer, everyone else can be Mekel, and sometimes the Bnei Bashkar, the Inner Bnei Torah, they're the ones that have to be Machmer, whereas it comes to everybody else, they're allowed to be Mekel. Zok Mishnevayt Bisham, Yemen Bisham, he says, Mavir Na La Shulchan Atzamis Uklipin. What happens if somebody's eating, and at the end of the meal, he has Atzamis, he has bones, and he has Klipin, he has like the shells of nuts. So the problem is these things are muktzah. So if the muktzah, what are you supposed to do with it? So Beis Shammai says, just move it. No worries. Beis Shammai, no. What do you mean? You can't just move it. It's muktzah. So what you do is, mesalik es hatav l'kulo menara. Assuming you're eating on top of a plate or a placemat, you take the placemat and you move it that way. The tavla itself is a keli. So even though indirectly you're moving the klipin and that samos, but this is something you're allowed to do. Another halacha, vir me'ala shulchan perur and pachas mikazayas. What if you have little pieces of bread that each one is pachas mikazayas? So you're allowed to move it from the table on Shabbos, so the halacha is you are. V'seir shel apunin, v'seir adashin. Additionally, you're allowed to move the pods that the apunim, the peas are in, and that the lentils are in. So these are the little pods that they come from. Those things you're allowed to move as well. They're not considered muktzah, all these things, because it's meichel b'hem, a svoy. What if you have a sponge? This has nothing to do with muktzah. Im yesh loy or beis achiz, if it has a handle, mekanchemo, you're allowed to clean with it. If it doesn't have a handle, you're not allowed to clean with it. The reason is because when you squeeze the sponge, you're doing schita. And because you're doing schita, it's gonna be an ishva. Chomer say benkach or benkach. Either way, nitabal Shabbos, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. If in makabel tumah, it's not makabel tumah. Why is it not makabel tumah? A sponge is a keli. Why shouldn't it be makabel tumah? So Rashi says because it's the wrong material. The enoi loy kli eitz, v'loy beged, v'loy sak, v'loy matches. Not everything is makabel tumah. Sponge doesn't check off any of the boxes. So it's for that reason, even though it's maybe a keli, but it's not going to be makabel tumah. Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said the Mishnah said a machloikis between beishamay and beisol. If someone finished eating, he has that somis and klipin on the table. He wants to remove it. What's he supposed to do? Beishamay says, just move it. Beisul says, no, you have to take the tavla and be menarid and move it that way. So Rav Nachman says, we have the gears in the reverse. Onu ein lanu elo. Beishamay ki Rav Yehuda, u Beisul ki Rav Shemim. Because it comes out from the Mishnah that Beishamay is the meiko and Beisul is the machmer. It sounds like in the world of muktzah, who's always the Meiko? Rav Shimon. Who's always the Machmer? Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman said, we had it just the opposite. No, Beishamay is always Machmer. They were Machmer in this halach as well. Beishamay held like Rav Yehuda, Beisul held like Rav Shimon. Mavir ma'ala shulchan, peirurim. The Gemara says, Rav Yoichanan, this is right, Rav Yoichanan. Rav Yoichanan, peirurim, sheim ben kezayis, also la'abda miyad. The Gemara makes a very subtle deik in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you have peirurim, you're allowed to move them. Say better. You're allowed to throw them out. It's garbage. Right? What are you doing with the little crumbs? You're getting rid of them anyways. So why do you have to say move it, say throw it out? So the Gemara feels it's a good diuk, and the Gemara says a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that if you have perurin, crumbs of bread, even if it's pachas mikizayas, asur la'abdom, yeah, you're not allowed to get rid of it. And that's what Mishnah didn't say you're allowed to get rid of it. Sar shalapunim, ani Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says going to Rabbi Shimon, the leslay mukta, who holds that it's, who doesn't hold a muktzah? So because Rav Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah, so it's for that reason that the halach is that you're allowed to be metaltal the sar shalapunim. Zok to Gemara, is that true? Emo seifa. Take a look at the seifa. Yesh lebesa tzvoig. If you have a tzvoig, if yesh lebesa chiz a mekan chumboy, v'mlavi mekan chumboy. Meaning the Gemara feels that the seifa of the Mishnah that allows you to carry the perur and pachas mikazayas, it allows you to carry the sar shalapunim, the sar shaladashim, and the Mishnah gave a reason. Yesh lebesa behema. That's only Rav Shimon, because we saw earlier, according to Rav Yehuda, something that's only muchan lebehema is still considered muktzah. So the fact that you're allowed to carry it because of the fact that animals eat it, that works according to Rav Shimon. So the time of the Mishnah is Rav Shimon. Faith Gemara has to show with the next part of the Mishnah. Because what did the Mishnah say? That a sponge, you're not allowed to carry. If it has a handle, you can carry it. But if not, you're not allowed to carry it. Right? If it has a besachiza, you can use it. Vim lav, not carry it. You're not allowed to clean with it. But if it has a handle, you can clean with it. Now, why can't you clean with it if it doesn't have a handle? Because you're going to do schita. Now, does this person have a mind to do schita? No. Aslan Rabbi Yehuda, Adav Hashem Eschaven Aser. Meaning the time of the Mishnah must be Rabbi Yehuda that holds Adav Hashem Eschaven is Aser. So it's not Rav Shimon. So who's the time of the Mishnah? Is it Rav Shimon or is it Rabbi Yehuda? From the Muktzah halacha, it sounds like it's Rav Shimon who's lasley Muktzah. But from the Dovash and Meschaven halacha, it sounds like it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda that else Dovash and Meschaven is also. Now, just to be clear, the Gemara is asking a stira between two parts of the Mishnah based on two different machloikasin between Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Right, fake the Gemara. Who's the time of the Mishnah? Is it Rav Shimon? Who's lasley muktzah? The problem is the time of the Mishnah also holds Dovash and Meschaven is also. Is it Rabbi Yehuda who holds Dovash and Meschaven is also? The problem is it's Rabbi Shimon who's lasley muktzah. I mean, at first glance, you could say it's the time of the Mishnah, whoever it is. He holds like Rabbi Shimon regarding muktzah. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Dovash and Meschaven. This diak, I think, is another makar to something that we've seen also many times in the Masechta, and that is the Gemara very often tried making all the Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbi Yehuda's Lashitasai. Dovash and Meschaven, Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. So again, you see here, there's at least a half a minute in the Gemara, where the Gemara is not so comfortable by saying that maybe one Tana holds like Rav Shimon regarding Muktzah, holds like Rehuda regarding Dovah Shein Meschaven, but either the Gemara is a more simple Teretz. But how I feel Rav Shimon, why do you know? Really, the whole Tana is Rav Shimon. And Rav Shimon is less like Muktzah, that's why he holds anything that's Meichel Behemo is not going to be considered Muktzah. What's the Kasha? What's the big deal with the sponge? If he's less like Muktzah, so carry this, I mean, if it's Rav Shimon, so it's a Dovah Shein Meschaven. Dovah Shein Meschaven shouldn't be a problem. So the Gemara says, in this case, even Rav Shimon's Moida, it's a classic example of a Psik Resha. I mean, it's not maybe going to happen. So you could say Dovah Shein Meschaven. It's for sure going to happen. It's inevitable. If it's inevitable, even Rav Shimon's going to be Moida. Hani Garinin de Tamri Armiyasa. If somebody has the pits of Aramean dates, so the Allah is Shari Letal Tolino. You're allowed to carry those pits. And the reason is Hoyol V'Chazion Agavimon, being that the pit itself was considered Meichel Behema, and the date itself was also Meichel Behema. So in the beginning of Shabbos, in the beginning of Yontif, this was Meichel Behema. So if it was Meichel Behema, so what's the problem? Nothing changed. Meaning these dates, the ones that were the Tamri Armiyasa, they were Meichel Behema. So what happens when you finish eating the date? You have the pit. What's the pit? It's also Meichel Behema. So there's no reason you shouldn't be able to metaltal it. It's Chazi Agavimayo. The mother of the pit, so to speak, is the fruit. The fruit was Meichel Behema. This is Meichel Behema. It was Muchel Meichel Behema. With the Parsiyasa Aser. However, the Persian dates, that's a problem. And the reason is because that's already considered Noilad. And being that that's already considered Noilad, so therefore it's going to be a problem. Because there the date itself was Meichel Adam. The pit, now when all you have is Meichel Behema. So we look at it as a Noilad. If you look at it as a Noilad, so therefore that, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to be a problem. Shmuel metaltalu agar riftas. The Gemara says that Shmuel used to be metaltal these pits of the Persian dates, agar rifta. He used to put it on top of bread, and that's the way he would carry it. Sharnam shafa simin. The Gemara says, Shmuel, tamei, this is Shmuel, she tossed it. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, oi, sa'odim, kol tzarecha bepas. Because Shmuel holds that you're allowed to do whatever you want with bread. Meaning, the chiddush over here is, why are you allowed to do it with bread? I thought bread you're only supposed to eat. You're allowed to do whatever you want with bread. This is Shmuel, sheet and shas. That Shmuel holds, oi, sa'odim, kol tzarecha bepas. And therefore, Shmuel held that this was something you're allowed to do. So Shmuel had a problem with the Persian pits. Again, what was the problem with the Persian pit? The date itself was Meichel Adam. The pit is Meichel Behema. So we look at it as Noilad. If we look at it as Noilad, it's a problem. So Shmuel didn't want to be metaltal it because of Noilad. So therefore, what Shmuel did was he came up with an Eitzah, and this is what he ended up doing. He put bread underneath it. He carried the bread. It was on top of the bread. That's the way he was metaltal. Tosfos asks Akasha that Shmuel Shita in Masechet Shabbos is like Reb Shimon. That's less like Muktzah. So if Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon, that's less like Muktzah. That means he doesn't hold of Noilad. So if he doesn't hold of Noilad, that means this is not a problem. So if this is not a problem, so what was Shmuel's issue? So Tosfos says, very gishmak. Based on the Gemara we just learned, we saw that Abaye v'Rava also didn't hold of held that because they were an Adam Chashev, even when they held, there was no Muktzah problem, but they had to be Machmer. So Shmuel, like Abaye and Rava in the previous Gemara, felt that even though I myself hold like Reb Shimon, who's less like Muktzah, but I'm an Adam Chashev. He understood his status. And as a result, he felt he had to be Machmer. This was his Chumra. Rabbi Metaltul Agav Lakna Demai. Rabbi felt the same way. Rabbi used to carry the pits of the Persian dates, and he would put it inside a pail. Rav Huna Breda, Rav Yeshua, Avadu Kegraf Shal Rei. What he would do is when he was eating these pits, he would pile up a bunch of pits. Now, what happens if you have a bunch of pits of a fruit sitting in front of you? It's disgusting. That's precisely what he was trying to do. He wanted it to be disgusting because there's a special kula in Muktzah, we know this, that a Graf Shal Rei, you're allowed to move. You're allowed to move something disgusting on Shabbos. That's one of the kulois in Muktzah. Muktzah is the Rabbanon and the Gedin. The Rabbanon made certain kulois. One of them is a Graf Shal Rei. So what he would do is he would dafka make a bunch of pits. Like this was disgusting. Like this, he was able to carry it. Amalei Rav Ashi Ameimer. So Rav Ashi asked Ameimer, v'chiyois and Graf Shal Rei l'katchilo. Are you allowed to make a Graf Shal Rei l'katchilo? So he yelled, you're not allowed. Just like a mevatel and nissel l'katchilo. You're not allowed to make a Graf Shal Rei l'katchilo. So he held that this was going to be a problem. Rav Sheishes, the Gemara says, Zorek l'belishne. He would spit it out. Rav Papa Zorek l'acheri amita. He would throw these pits behind his bed. Amru Olav, they say, Al Rabbi Chayyu ben Afkulos, regarding Rabbi Chayyu ben Afkulos, Shayyam Machzer Ponav Achayre Yamit of Zarkon, that he used to turn his face behind the bed, and this is the way he would throw it out. We're not going to go into this right now. Be'ezus Hashem, hopefully in one of the coming dafim, but before the Hadron, so this is the second place in Shas, or one of two places that Rabbi Chayyu ben Afkulos appears. It's Shabbos, Kuf Mem Gimel Amid Aleph, and the other place is famous. And that's also very much in Yonah D'Yoymo. Gittin Daf Nun Vav Amid Aleph. The Gemara tells the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and at the very end of the story, the Gemara says that Omer Rabbi Yochanan, An Vesenusa Yishar Rab Schaye Ben Afkulos, Hechrives Beiseinu Vesarfas Eichalenu Viglisonu Meartzenu. What was Rab Schaye Ben Afkulos' role in Churban Beis HaMikdash? Because the Chachamim wanted to kill Bar Kamsa because of everything that he was trying to do. They had some sort of workaround to try to get rid of Bar Kamsa, which ultimately played a tremendous role in Churban Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Chayyu didn't want. And Rabbi Yochanan commented, and the Sinusa Rabbi Chayyu ben Afkulos is what caused Churban Beis HaMikdash. So you have Rabbi Chayyu in two places. You have Rabbi Chayyu in Gittin Daf Nun Vom Amid Aleph, and you have it right here in this Sugya Masechta Shabbos. If you take a look at the Tosefta on Masechta Shabbos, the Tosefta brings Rabbi Chayyu ben Afkulos a little bit differently. Meaning, we are Rabbi Chayyu ben Afkulos here at the very end of the Daf, with regards to the pits of the Persian dates. The Tosefta has it on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, a machloikis b'shayim b'sil. Someone finishes eating. You have bones. You have klipim. What are you supposed to do? So we had the gerus. So Beishamai says you can remove the bones. Beisul says no. You have to do a derech agav. Take the tavla, take your plate, and get rid of it that way. Rav Nachman had it in the reverse. That Beishamai is the one that's machmer like Rav Yehuda, that's islay muktzah, and Beisul was the one that was maker like Rav Shimon, that's leslay muktzah. The Tosefta brings the machlokes b'sham b'sol with Rav Nachman's nusach. B'shamay was the machmer, b'sol was the mekel. Then says the Tosefta, Amru all of al Rav Schayu ben Afkulos, shaloi hoye noyek, loy k'divri b'shamay, v'loy k'divri b'sol. Rather, what he would do is, when he had bones, he would turn around and he would spit it out achari amita. So not regarding the Persian date, but rather regarding the Mishnah. Regarding the machlokes between b'sham and b'sol, what a person's supposed to do with its asomais and klipin when he's eating. But here's the punchline. In the Tosefta, Amr Rabbi Yosi, Amru Olav al Rab Schayu ben that Rab Schayu and the Sinusa is Rab Schayu ben Afkulas is what caused Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Where Rabbi Yochanan said in Gittin Nun Vav Amir Aleph regarding the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Rabbi Yosi in the Tosefta says right here, in this machloikis b'shami b'sol, with regard to Rabbi Zchayv and Avkulis' minhag, that he was noyeg loy k'divri b'shamay v'loy k'divri b'sol. Now, number one, it would seem that the right girsa in Gittin should also be Rabbi Yosi, because here it's Rabbi Yochanan, there it's Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi was a Tana, Rabbi Yochanan was an Amayra. You can't have Rabbi Yochanan in a Taisefta. But that's neither here nor there. That's in terms of what the Geras is. But it's a Pella, the Taisefta. Because Bishloim Gittin and Vavam and Aleph, Amvasanusa Shrab Schaya was Machriv the Beis HaMikdash. That was the whole story. Kamsa Bar Kamsa. He played a tremendous role in the ultimate Chorban. So Rabbi Yochanan said something we can never say. That Rabbi Schaya ben Avkulos, the Vilna Gaon said Rabbi Schaya was the God of Adar. That Rabbi Schaya ben Avkulos caused Chorban Beis HaMikdash. But here in the Taisefta, because of his minig and ilchas mukta, what does that have to do with Churban Beis HaMikdash? We've spoken about this once in the past. The Im Beis Medrash Boy Chiddush. Maybe we'll get into this later in the week. Hadron Aloch, Noitel Adam Espenoi. Zok the Mishnah Vayit, Chavish and Ishbro. If somebody has a chavish, he has a barrel full of wine, and the barrel of wine broke, and he's trying to save the wine. So you would think, what's the big deal? Why can't you save it? As long as wine's not mukta, like, what's the problem? You're only allowed to save Mazon Shalosh. It's very similar to the halacha. There's a fire in a house. You're not allowed to save all the food. You're only allowed to save Mazon Shalosh Sudas. What's the reason you can only save Mazon Shalosh Sudas? So Rashi, quoting the Gemara earlier in the Masechta, Perikol Kisvei, says it's because we're afraid that if you're going to be allowed to carry all the, allowed to save all the wine, you may not have enough barrels to save all the wine. You're going to have to carry barrels. Shemi Yavirenu, Dalan Armas, Peshus Arabim. Says for that reason, Chomim said that you're only allowed to carry and you're only allowed to save Mazin Shulish Solish Sudas. Another Allah is, you're allowed to tell other people to go help you save as well. You have to make sure that when you save the wine, don't use a sponge to absorb the wine. This is a gzera. You may come to do schita. So on the topic of a gzera, Shema Yischoi, Ein Soich Lenas HaPeres, Lo Yitzim HaMashkin, now let us squeeze Peres on Shabbos, so that Mashkin should come out. V'im Yatzu Miatzman, what if you have a peri and fruit and juice oozed out of the peri all on its own? Asurim Dalach, you're not even allowed to drink the juice. The reason is, gzera Shema Yischoi, Rashi says. We're afraid that you may go ahead, L'chatchilo, and squeeze the fruits. If you're going to say that if juice that's squeezed out of a fruit by itself you're allowed to drink, maybe you're going to go like Katchila and squeeze it. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not always so simple. And this Rabbi Yehuda is going to be the topic of the rest of the daf, and it's going to be the topic of tomorrow's daf. Im lo'eichlin, if these fruits were set aside to eat, hayoytz meh mutter, then anything that comes out of the fruit is mutter. Im lo'mashkin, if the fruits were set aside to make juice from it, then a yoitz meh maser, then anything that comes out of it is going to be awesome. You just said something very mistaber. He said, juice came out of a fruit by itself on Shabbos. You want to tell me it should be a problem. Why? Why should it be a problem? Because gzeri, you may squeeze it more. So Yehuda says, okay, I'll tell you something reasonable. If this is fruit that you set aside to squeeze, it's okay, you see it started coming out by itself, there's gzeri, maybe you'll do more schita. But if I don't want these oranges to make orange juice, I want these oranges to eat as an orange. The fact that a little bit of juice came out is not a reason I'm going to go squeeze it more. As a result, there's no reason to make the gzeira. So the chamu wa machmer, Rabbi Yehuda was meikel. Chamu wa machmer, they said, all fruit that juice comes out of, there's a gzeira shema yischai. Rabbi Yehuda says, not always the case. If the fruit was set aside to make juice from it, you have in mind at some point to squeeze it. Yeah. But otherwise, im lo'eichlin dan halacha is that it's going to be mutter. Another halacha, similar, chalu istavash, someone has honeycomb. There's honey inside it. Shariska, if it was cut up me'er of Shabbos, the yotz me'as, and then honey oozes out of it on Shabbos, asurim, now let eat the honey on Shabbos, but Lazamat, Lazamat says mutter, we'll see more about that in the Gemara. So the first halacha was, if someone has a barrel of wine, the barrel of wine broke, how much you're allowed to save, you're allowed to sell other people to come help you save, but it will eventually yispik, you can't absorb the wine with a sponge, tano, la yispik b'yai, number one, you're not allowed to absorb it with a sponge, and if it's oil, you're not allowed to take a keli, put the oil on the keli, and then remove the oil from the keli.
Apparently, that was the weekday way of doing it. Falls into the halach of uvda dechal. Tan rabban and tzvazu with peiros bechatzer. Let's say someone had a barrel of peiros. He had a bunch of peiros, and they all scattered out in a chatzer. So what's the big deal? As long as you're allowed to carry in the chatzer, there shouldn't be an issue. No, you have to be sensitive to uvda dechal. Malakit al yad al yad. You can only take one at a time. V'oichel and eat it. Avaloi lo teichasa, avaloi lo teichakupa. Shloyas kederach shoyis bechal. It's not so simple to just take all the peiros, put them back inside your basket. Eid soichten asa peiros. Again, we had a machloikis Rabbi Yudan the Chacham. Someone has peiros and juice oozed out of the peiros. They squeeze fruit on Shabbos. That's a tremendous issue. Schita. One of the Lamites Malachs. Again, we'll see more about this in the coming daf. But for now, you're not allowed to squeeze fruit on Shabbos to make fruit juice. It's chita. What happens if the juice came out by itself? According to Chachamim, you can't drink it. It's a gzeira. Shema yischait. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it depends. If these fruit were miyuchid le mashka, then it's a problem. If it was miyuchid l'achila, then it's not going to be a problem. Now, just to be clear, nothing wrong happened over here. But you find ideas in Hilchah Shabbos that if someone does a melacha, you can't be nana from it. Even if he does it b'shoyki, even if a guy does a melacha if you're on Shabbos, it could be you can't benefit from it. Over here, there was no melacha done. The schita happened by itself. It just squeezed out. Nobody squeezed it. There was no act of schita over here. It happened by itself, literally. It just happened naturally. Afal Piki, the Chachamim said, Gzeira, Shema Yischait, more, it should be a problem. So Yehuda says, I hear what you're saying, but it only makes sense for Peiros, where there's a tzad, you may do schita with it. But if the Peiros are Meyuchel La'eichlin, then it's not going to be an issue. Om Rav Yehuda, Om Mashmum, Oidahai, Rav Yehuda L'Chachamim, Zeisim Vanovim. Yehuda was made to the Chachamim by Zeisim Vanovim. That if you are Zeisim Vanovim, and you didn't have a mind to use the Zeisim Vanovim to make juice from it, you had a mind to eat the Zeisim Vanovim. However, if Mashkin came out from it by itself on Shabbos, over here it's going to be an issue. And the reason is, my timer came into the schita and you have died. Because being that most times when people have Zeisim Vanovim, they use it for schita, even though that wasn't your intention, now that you see the Mashkin coming out, there's a concern you may change your mind, which is very reasonable. And as a result, you're going to use it. Now, just to think, visualize this for a second. What do you use Vanovim? What juice comes out of Vanovim? Wine. What comes out of Zeisim? Oil. Wine is more chashiv than Vanovim. Shemen is more chashiv than zeisim. What's exhibit A for that? Pesachtes brachas, perikets and mavarchin. You make a bayir priya eitz on grapes, but you make a bayir priya gofen on wine. And the reason the Gemara says, because it's a shtani liluya, because it became more chashiv. That's why you make a more chashiv bracha. Bayir priya gofen is a more chashiv bracha than bayir priya eitz. The more specific the bracha is, the more chashiv it's considered in hilchas brachas. So ha'eitz is general, anything that comes from a tree. Whereas a gofen is a vineyard. That's more specific. But either way, so wine is more chashiv than grapes. Oil is more chashiv than olives. And it's for that reason most people, when they have grapes, they use it for oil, for wine. Most people, when they have zeisim, they use it for shemen. So even though that wasn't your intention, but over here, Rabbi Yehuda's maskim said, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of his grace, Rabbi Shmuel, that I think even Rabbi Yehuda was maskim, there was a gzeira. Over here, there was a gzeira. Yov, it's not to give Ula, Amar, Rav, Ula said the name of Rav. No, just the opposite. Chol, Koyer, Rabbi Yehuda, Ap, Zeisim, Vanovim. So essentially, it's a machloikis Shmuel and Rav. It's Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, Shmuel. It's Ula, Amar, Rav. Shmuel held that Rabbi Yehuda only said his halacha by fruit that are not Zeisim, Vanovim, whereas Zeisim, Vanovim is Moida. According to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda said his halacha even by Zeisim. Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is a third shita. He said halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, Bashar, Peiros, Vein halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, b'zeis avanovim. What's Rabbi Yochanan saying? Rabbi Yochanan held like Rav, that Rabbi Yehuda himself said his halacha even b'zeis avanovim. He said his halacha by all pairs. Doesn't matter even if it's b'zeis avanovim. However, he agreed to Shmuel Svara, but not Shmuel Svara on the Rabbi Yehuda level, Shmuel Svara on the halacha level. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan acknowledged that there's a chilek between b'zeis avanovim and shar pairs. B'zeis avanovim, most people use l'schita. So even if you didn't have in mind schita, once the juice comes out, now you may change your mind. So there's gzeira shem yischait, even if you were miyachid b'zeis avanovim l'achila, not l'mashkin. However, whereas Shmuel said the Sfara in Rabbi Yehuda, on the Rabbi Yehuda level, Rabbi Yehuda held that way, Rabbi Yechon had the same Kabbalah as Rav, that really Rabbi Yehuda argued in all cases. But you want to know how Lachal Amaisa, Rabbi Yechon heard Rabbi Yehuda's kula. He was willing to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but only by Shar Peiros, not by Zeisav Anovim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. And we'll end with this. Moida hayu Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim b'zeisav Anovim. Rabbi Yehuda was moida to the chachamim by Zeisav Anovim. So who said this? Rabba, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel. So this is, of course, l'shitasa to where Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel said in the beginning of the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda was moided to the chachamim by Zeisim Vanovim. But here's the punchline: umoidim chachamim to Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peres, and the chachamim were moided to Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peres. So Rabbi Yehuda was moided by Zeisim Vanovim, and the chachamim moided by b'shar peres. What's the obvious kasha? Amal Rabbi Yirmiya, the Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Yirmiya asked Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba was Rabbi Yirmiya's Rabbi. So Rabbi Yirmiya asked his Rabbi, Rabbi, Elo B'mai, please, what's the machlokes? If Rabbi Yehuda's Moedah B'Zeitz V'Anav, and the Chama Moedah B'Shar Peres, so what are they arguing? Amal Eso, Rabbi Abba told Rabbi Yirmiya, L'chi Tishkach, go out and see if you can figure it out. Amal Nachma Yitzchak, so Nachma Yitzchak said, there was a big tumult in Dama Yira. Where's the machlokes? Mestabra B'tutim V'Rimayim Pligi. So Mestabra, the machlokes is by berries. B'tutim are usually translated as strawberries. And Rimoinim and pomegranates, that's where they're arguing. The Gemara is going to bring a brisa to this. But before the brisa, what's the svara? So it seems that Tutim and Rimoinim are somewhere in between. Meaning most fruit people ate. They didn't squeeze and make juice from. Zaysim and Anovim, most people, used for the juice. Tutim and Rimoinim, there was Yesh V'Yesh. So Rabba said in the name of Rehuda, said in the name of Shmuel, as it relates to Zaysim and Anovim, where most people do schita, there's always a gzeirah shem yischa. It's always going to be aser. As it relates to most peiros, where most people never do schita, even the chamu amayda to Rabbi Yehuda, that if you are miyachid these fruit for schita, there's no gzeirah shem yischa. The machlokes was by two types of fruits, by certain types of berries and by pomegranates. Because over there was a yesh for yesh. So Rabbi Yehuda was mekel chamu amachmed. The tanya learned to the price is zesim shemashach mehem shemen vanovim shemashach mehem yaim. Somebody had zesim and oil came out of it. Somebody had grapes and wine came out of it. Vichnison, had you set aside these olives and these grapes, bein lo oichel, bein lo mashkin, it doesn't matter what it was for, hayoytzim ha-maser, tutim, if it relates to berries, shemashach mehem mayim, v'rimoinim shemashach mehem yayim, v'ichnison lo oichlen, if you put it away lo oichlen, hayoytzim mehem mutter, le mashkin ulistam, hayoytzim mehem maser, divri Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda shita's gishmak. What did Rabbi Yehuda just say? It's a little long-winded, but he said, zeisim v'anovim, it doesn't matter what you were machtas it for, it's always going to be aser, because moid Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim v'zeisim v'anovim. When was he mekel? By tutim and by rimayim. And kal v'chaymer, he's going to be mekel by everything else. But al kapanim, by tutim and rimayim, over there he's mekel, and he says, over there it depends. V'chachamim say, bein lo'eichlin, bein lo'mashkin, hayoytzim v'maser. It doesn't matter if the tutim and rimayim were there lo'eichlin, it doesn't matter if the tutim and rimayim were there lo'mashkin, either way, it's going to be awesome. Incidentally, this is a tanya to the first thing that Rabbi said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel. That moidim chachamim the Rabbi Yehuda be zeisim v'anovim, and that they're arguing for sure by tutim v'rimayim. You see both of those things in the brisa. You don't see that the chamim amoyed to Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peres. They weren't talking about shar peres. Maybe just like the chamim argued by tutim v'rimayim, maybe they would argue b'shar peres as well. The Gemara is going to ask that in tomorrow's daf. But either way, we will end here.